Hey, this is Russ. We're getting ready to start into Session 23, Freedom Counters, the Internet course from Shadow of the Darkness. You are, as a student, if you're taking the course, I know it's been over a number of months right now that you have studied, you've learned, and hopefully there's been some application, and you've been able to use some of the principles. So let's take a look at page 57 in your notes now on session 23. May the Lord Jesus Christ again strengthen you, give you wisdom. May he increase his grace and mercy for the deliverance and healing of lives, the application and incredible power of the Word of God. May we be just increased, even as 2 Thessalonians speaks about in our own issues that we have, that we can praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is what? The Father of all compassions. That's where all the mercy is. That's where all the grace and all that we need. That's the source. And so as you go to get your comfort from the Lord, and he brings you that in your life, you can turn around and, of course, give more to others. So if you are MPD or SRA or formerly were, I'd like to even hear from you in some of the application of this. I know that there are a number of former SRA MPD victims that are now involved in ministry, and it'd be great to hear from some of you in some of the application we've talked about in these sessions. Session 23 is about the post-freedom encounter. Here's the note, or the key point. Post-counseling and freedom encounters involves moving anyone from crisis to recovery to freedom to live. So whatever they're going through at the moment, the issue is moving anyone from the pain and hurt and everything else to recovery. Recovery includes salvation, deliverance, healing. That's the restoration. Remember again the very beginning of the course, why Jesus came. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord anointed him to preach the good news, to bring ministry. Look at the ministry, the very reason he came. It's about saving, healing, delivering, restoring lives, and so forth. So that you can be assuming that the Lord Jesus is going to be doing as you apply the ministry that he's brought through the Word and by the Spirit of God. Our goal is not to keep anyone in recovery and counseling, but to move all the injured from recovery to ability to live for Christ. From recovery to abilities in their lives to be able to begin to tend to some of their own issues and be able to grow. We move them to a dynamic discipleship to take up the cross and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really the goal of anyone you're going to be counseling. Anybody that comes in with whatever issue, that is the platform that God is using, whether it's to get them saved. Maybe they've come in with painful issues in their life to you for some reason, and they're not even saved yet. Or maybe because they have not been discipled correctly, they're not growing in the Lord, or the Lord is disciplining their life or something else. The counseling sessions can be platforms for God to get done what is His will for their lives. And we'll see that in the application of sanctification as you go through this. So the great news is this, and I hope you'll remember Philippians 1:6 through all of this, that the apostle says, by the Spirit of God, being confident of this. Now that's tremendous, a tremendous confidence you can have in your own life, you can have for the lives of others. I have it for others. Sometimes I feel I have more confidence for them than they do. And the confidence is based on the application of sanctification, which begins at the moment of salvation and doesn't end until glorification. And so there's a great confidence. Philippians 1:6 says, for what reason? Being confident of this, that he, Christ, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ. God's going to continue to work. And there's a great work of the application of the transformation of salvation and so forth. So let's take a look at point number one, page 57, the application of sanctification in discipleship. Now, discipleship is the outward objective process that corresponds with the inward working of this of the sanctification. Now, new birth assumes divine development. That's Romans chapter 8. You know that that God is working out all things for the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That we have been justified, sanctified. There's a sanctification process also, but there's a predestination. Who has been predestined? Well, believers are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. There is, at the moment, I mean, salvation's work is not just to get you forgiven. It's to get you forgiven and freed and empowered and given new life. And, well, we'll go over some of the benefits here just in a moment. But salvation is the transformation, Titus 3, 5, and 6, that is the ultimate work of God. Now, we say this in point B, salvation is powerful. And the ultimate transformation, and that's true of anyone you're going to deal with. That is true of multiples that are coming in. That's true of you know, anybody else that you're going to be dealing with. That salvation is that touch point. Now, if someone comes in and rejects Christ, they reject forgiveness. They reject freedom. They reject the power of God to lift them out of addictions, to give them guidance and direction, and to be able to apply the word of God that brings also revival and restoration and power to their lives. So it is difficult in the sense that if someone rejects salvation, they are rejecting all of what is packaged in salvation that Christ secured at the cross and at the resurrection and by the shedding of His blood. So again, every single Christian counselor, you listen, you are an evangelist. You are to do the work of an evangelist. You are to do the work of witnessing, because that is the great power of God. It's not in the precision of counseling and counseling principles. It's in the power of God and the demonstration of that power in the ministry to individuals. So assume that the ministry that God is giving you has a lot to do with God being able to attract hurting and broken people in this fallen world to bring them to the point of salvation. So many times you're going to find people that God has allowed things. I mean, things have occurred in their life. I mean, they've received even the results of their own sin and the pain and issues that they've chosen, and they don't know how to get out. Well, always begin with the area of salvation, and that's true for multiplicity and for those who are SRA and PD. And you're going to find that in the beginning, some might want to receive Christ, but in the application of multiplicity, you've got to deal with the issue of other personalities and finding this one wants to receive Christ and that one and this one and that one and on and on and on. Well, my model at this point is the main person receiving Christ, and then those freedom encounters normally. The way they go is when Jesus comes in to minister them and bring the healing and everything else that is needed. Almost in all the cases, the personalities are clearly turning to Jesus and willing to do what He wants. And then there's the application of that salvation is seen in the sanctifying from the inside out and the work of God from the inside out. Now, take a look at point C on page 57 of 1, where it refers to the benefits, Psalm 103. I mean, the benefits of salvation. And this is very important. And the reason I put down Romans 8, there's a tremendous description of that work of the Spirit of God to put to death the misdeeds of the body, the sin issues, and so forth. And that demonstrates that we truly have the Spirit of God. And we see the Spirit of adoption there. We see the Spirit of God in the help of prayer. We see the work of God. So we see a lot of the work of sanctification. But we're also going to see that in Colossians chapter 3, putting off, putting on. We're going to see that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, the ridding yourself. We're going to see this in other places where there is the work of sanctification drives, leads, guides, moves the individual, all believers, to choose. To will and then to act what God is moving in us by His Spirit. Now listen, the Spirit and the Word jive. The Spirit and the Word of God move together. What the Word says, the Spirit says. What the Spirit says, the Word says. So it is absolutely essential that we are in the Word of God. That is the tool of the Spirit of God, even in the believer's life. So think about some of the benefits of salvation that every single person receives, and the multiple also receives, and can begin to operate or begin to see the work of God in them, bring the restoration, healing, and the removal of the work of the enemy. So we deal with forgiveness, total and absolute forgiveness, and we deal with freedom. Or John chapter 8, where Jesus speaks about that those who keep His word, those who truly do, will know that word. That word will set them free. The truth will set them free. The new nature that we read about in the Word of God, even in 1 John, the seed of God remains in us. The new nature that Romans chapter 8 defines. Either we have the sin nature as the operative power, or we have the new nature as the operative power. We're told in Romans chapter 8 that the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the old law of sin and death. So the new nature, with all the empowerment to live for Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. His divine power, perfect tense, has given to us in the permanent sense everything we need for life and godliness. Life, Zoe, Christ-likeness, the Christ life, to live out the Christ-like life. And then Eusebia, the being able to be devoted to God. So the idea here is a new nature. There's an assumption that the powerful new nature enables us to live for Christ. And we need to know that and appropriate, like in Romans 6, to appropriate, to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Why do we count ourselves that way? Because it's true. We reckon the Word of God as true because it is true. And the reckoning, or the idea of appropriation, is really an act of faith. It's an act of faith that we begin to act on the facts, the truths, that are not only without in the Word of God, but within because of the implantation of the new nature. You know, we could talk about that we're justified, that we're now adopted into God's family, He loves us, and so forth. But we can also talk about all the promises of God are ours now in Christ. Abilities to be able to live and grow and pray and worship, given by the Spirit of God, given in the work of salvation. Down the road, the abilities of spiritual gifts and so forth. The ability to understand and perceive the Word of God. We've been given the Spirit, not who's from the world, but who is from God, that we might freely understand all that God has given. So the Spirit of God is the gift by which we can not only acknowledge that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we're the children of God, but that there's an operative working. He's only going to drive us, move us, direct us, in one direction, to Jesus, to the Word of God, to the fulfilling of the design that's behind sanctification, to become like Christ, which involves power over sin and a victory. Well, we'll look at all of these here. Divine power, we already mentioned about it, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. New identity in Christ. We're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Protection, 1 John 5, that the Lord Jesus will protect us from the evil one. The authority, Luke 10, 19, that we've been given in Christ over the enemy. Purpose, obviously, Romans 8, 28, and so forth, that we love God and are called according to His purpose. God has purpose for us now, and to take up the cross and follow Christ. And all of this is something that needs to be laid out to the counselee in the context of their issues. All of this needs to be appropriated, received, and accepted and begin to be lived out so that we can experience all the fullness Christ has. Now, there's also victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's seen in the book of 1 John. And so we have victory in Christ over the fallen world system, the old flesh nature, and the devil himself. And this is important to stress for all those who are trying to grow. So if you have your foundations truly built on Jesus, the rock, and the Word of God, and these things that were listed, these are the very basic things every new believer in Christ should know. Part of the issue with many counselees coming in, Christians that have been a Christian 10, 20 years, is that they have not been discipled correctly, and they have not pursued. They become spiritual spectators, and they've lived half in and half out. And that's part of the issue. So you're going to find yourself doing a lot of discipleship in the context of counseling. So as a counselor, the glorious thing is you get to be a witness and lead people to Christ that come right before you. And you get to also be a discipler, which is being involved in the sanctification process that God is designing and has designed in salvation for the person in front of you. So it's a neat thing, because for us as believers, as we're ministering to others, God is always speaking back into our own lives. And there's going to be times that you're going to be speaking to people and sharing with people, and you're going to go home and realize that what you spoke, the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God, is the very things that encourage your own life and that you need to be reminded of and that you need to know too. So again, as you go in living in fullness, you're going to be better able to minister. So you keep growing in the Lord. It's not about all the counseling principles. Get deeper in the Lord, know Jesus, follow Him, love the Word of God. And as you do all of that, obviously, like in Timothy 2:16 and 17, that you're going to be thoroughly equipped, ready to do every good work. So it's very important that continue our own development, because that is the goal of sanctification, the work of sanctification in your life. The bottom of page 57, it says, as the new life of Christ in His Spirit resides in the human spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8 tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that when we are born again, we're born again of the Spirit of God. Our spirit that was dead to God is now made alive. And the Spirit of God now is dwelling within our human spirit, and then from the depths of us, animating the rest of our personality, the soulical side, from the heart, the will, the mind, the emotions are all affected, and even the body is affected. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 about being sanctified completely or through and through, the body, soul, and spirit. The work of God in salvation is body and soul and spirit, and that operation of God will flow from spirit to soulical side, which is your personality, where you say we trust God with our heart, we serve God with our heart. That's where the will, the intellect, and so forth is affected, and the faculties of your being are animated now by the Spirit of God in the work of that powerful, powerful salvation and transformation. Yeah, you can take a few minutes to thank the Lord, get down before the Lord and praise Him, shut things off and just say, you know, there's times that even in the midst of things, as God is speaking to you, and God will use my feeble attempts in sharing and teaching and everything else, He'll go so far beyond me and bless you and encourage you with the salvation you have. So let the tears come, let the worship begin, and embrace Jesus. He alone triumphs over sin, Satan, the fallen world, and all the issues of life. He alone is the Alpha and the Omega, the author and perfecter of our faith. He alone is our all in all. And that's what you're wanting to bring to individuals. The Spirit of God seeks to glorify Christ in you and through you. So when we talk about how the Spirit of God is residing within, to move what? The work of God moves from there to the totality of your soul, or soulical side, as I call it, the personality. The mind and will are now free and received Christ in our heart. A work, as we receive Christ in our heart, a work began that is meant or designed to progress. Listen, God didn't save one single soul to leave them sit as a couch or spiritual couch potato. There's just no such thing. The dynamic work of salvation that is initiated the moment we receive Christ has within it already the design for development, the design for growth, the design for going from victory to victory, faith to faith, to grow more and more powerful, as Acts 9:22, one of my favorite verses, tell us. So there's a pre-designed plan of God in that work of salvation. Now, I assume that as a discipler too. As I'm sharing Christ with younger believers or somebody I've led to Christ, I already know the Word of God's going to be open to them. They're going to be able to grow. They're going to be they're a candidate to be clothed and filled with the Spirit of God. They're going to become a witness for Christ. They're going to learn prayers and see answers to prayers. They're going to have experiences with Jesus along the way. They're going to learn their spiritual gifts down the road. They're going to be able to deal with spiritual warfare. Again, as they progress forward, both in word and works, there is an experiential side in the development. Matter of fact, there is no such thing as development without the experiential side. And that's based on the word and the spirit, but also in cooperation of every believer. Even salvation itself, I mean, there's the Word of God commands, repent and believe. So there is a response issue. Well, page 58.2, the application of redemption in the SRA MPD victims. Now, the application of redemption, please understand, though it seems right now that it's very, very slow process. I mean, 20 years ago, it was a very slow process. Now we're seeing much more, speed to everything. And I trust the Lord to do even more miraculous workings. But I've also seen that in all of the working, that the will has got to be engaged. You know, for multiples, their wills have been literally boxed in, programmed, and moved in one direction to where they haven't really developed the normal capacities of will, because that's the whole issue of the transmutation of their wills. But the application of redemption in a SRA MPD victim, when an individual really, the core of the person, receives Christ, then there's going to be an application of redemption that begins to move. So you can be confident, and they can be confident, even when there's frustrating times, that he who began a good work in them, he will carry it on to completion. What is the will of God for the multiple? What is the will of God for all the personalities? What is the will of God? Now, we're going to stress that in a few moments, but let me just mention this. Number one, freedom, of course. The undoing what the devil did. What the devil's done in their life. I mean, this is what 1 John 3:8 is all about. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And all that the enemy has taught the underground Luciferian world in the splitting of human personality and programming of personality, all of the absolute just the idiotic behavior of our own government when the CIA took Monarch and MKUltra and all the other projects to do the very same thing, when Estabrooks and Gottlieb and all those individuals of the past will pay the price, by the way, for what they've done. Outside the mercy of God, they will pay the price. But there's got to be a sense in us as believers that God is able to undo anything and everything the devil has done. Even the devil's, quote, best work is very feeble in the gigantic rock size salvation work of that salvation for the redemption of man. Where sin and Satan abound, grace much more abounds. Hallelujah. Well, freedom, of course, is what it's all about. Jesus coming in to free us from the guilt and weight of our sin, the sin nature, that we're to be broken, and we're to be freed from its control and tyranny, freed from Satan's chains, ownership. Colossians 1:12-13, we've been translated from the dominion of darkness into the basileia, the rule, the kingdom of Christ. And so there's an exchange that occurs that we need to know the depths of the salvation brings such an exchange. And then the application of that along the way, if they're going to grow, if any multiple is going to begin to take the word and grow, and we got a lot of different issues, I know. Some people, well, multiple, they try to read the word of God, they can't. Well, sometimes in the beginning, that only tells you that there's many personalities that are programmed and may have revulsion or programming that revolts against the Word of God. For example, they open the Bible and they can read other books, but if they open the Bible, all the words seem to be meshed together. Or if they don't want to touch the Bible or whatever, they feel a voice say, "Don't do that." Well, that's again, that's the error. That's the application, the issue of any other deliverance that's needed, any other personalities that need to be engaged on the inside in inner healing, that Christ would engage them and break programming and open them. But you've got to begin with who has received Christ needs to begin to apply their ability to grow in the Lord and so forth. Well, the application of redemption also is B, deliverance from all demonic works. All of the oaths and pledges and marriage to the beasts and all the demonic stuff, all the transmission of demons, all of the work, which will involve too renunciation of personalities inside. And even if they've at some point, and many multiples have, some have come to the point of willfully choosing and doing and so forth. And some of them are just like the rest of us singletons out here that they've, you know, I lived an ignorant life. Saul of Tarsus lived in ignorance and so forth, and he lived passionately for the wrong side. He lived so passionately for the wrong side, he was having Christians killed. And he was attacking the Christian church. And he was, you know, and he wasn't programmed per se, you know, passively. He actively engaged a cultic religious belief system that was contrary to the righteousness of God and the work of God. And God, when God encountered him, there was a change that occurred. Well, we'll look at those in a moment. But that's what we're talking about when somebody's truly getting saved, including the multiple, that a powerful transformation occurs and continues to occur. Any deliverance issues, Jesus wants to wipe out the demonic workings and works. Jesus wants to bring healing and the inner healing, both in the area of mental, emotional, soulical, personality splits, are all meant to be healed. That is the work of the Spirit of God, to undo what the enemy has done. New identity, because in, you know, that's the whole issue with the psychological world when they're telling multiples, well, you have multiple personality disorder. No, it's not. It's not so much a disorder. It is a designed, primarily, it's a designed thing. And dissociative identity disorder, again, deals with just simply saying that the person is somewhat messed up and they have a disorder in their identity, in their identities. Well, it's more than just that. The idea of identity is that God made us for Him in the beginning, that God has, you know, created us to be the apex of His creation, that Satan comes to shred that. So in salvation, identity in relationship to God returns. But in the application of the multiple, I believe that God knows how to bring the inner healing and the application of truth as programming and lies are exchanged for truth, that a person knows that they are a son or daughter of God, that they know that they are a unique individual, that God is able to bring healing to them as a whole. And even as we see the work of the Spirit of God as far as integration, inner healing, personalities going with Jesus, the bottom line is when the individual becomes more and more and more to the point of eventually being just them alone. That God has healed them, enfolded them, whatever you want to call it, ultimately, it's about bringing them back to fullness. Now, I want you to think of some applications to this. Think about Mark chapter 5 and the identity of that man. In the living among the tombs, living, you know, where he's cutting himself up, screaming and howling. What was his identity? The people looked at him as a madman. What was his identity? And did Jesus have the ability to do what? To bring him back to his right mind. To deliver him from the demonic work, to heal him, to bring him back. He's clothed and in his right mind. So this is very, very vital for us to trust that God has the ability to bring people back from the farthest horizons of as long as they're alive, as long as they have a pulse. I believe that Jesus Christ, the grace of God, so superabounds, is so gigantic, is so massive that his work can bring a person back to identity, to being not just human but redeemed humanity. Because outside of that redemption, we are not, quote, normal. Outside of redemption, we are fallen human beings with a sin nature that's been injected. That's abnormal. That sin nature, according to Romans 8, drives us to be hostile to God, not submit to God, to stay away from God. The fallen human, we're dying, and that's abnormality. We were not meant to die. The physical body was not meant. We're not meant to live outside or without God. This all came in that autonomous rebellion, the rebellion that led to autonomy, that led to disintegration of self. And brought about such a reaping of what was sown. And obviously in Mark chapter 5 we see the desecration of a human being. And listen, I know that you know, it's not delved into in Scripture, but somebody that's that demonized, the issue is, how did they get that demonized? You know, what doors did he open? I don't believe he was a multiple. I believe that his personality could have been broken. But not, he wasn't a government project or a current day multiple. He was tragically destroyed as a human being, and the demonization obviously had taken over. Well, look what Jesus did. And the second case is in Acts chapter, you can read it through from 7, 8, 9 on, of the work of Saul of Tarsus. In his passionate desire to destroy the church. And all it took was an encounter that Jesus engaged him in his insane passion. I mean, literally, he was just, you know, he would have never said he was crazy or mad, but all he knew was what he had. And that's true about many multiples and personalities. All they know is the powers, the religious teaching, the spirituality. All they know is what they have. Saul of Tarsus, all he knew and all that he was doing was based on what he knew. What he didn't know was the living Christ and the power of God. And when Jesus encountered him and engaged him, obviously he surrendered. He cried out, Lord. He turned to Jesus, obviously saved. We can go on to see Ananias going over to lay hands on him, to pray for him, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The scales fell from his eyes. And notice this tremendous change from Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. It's the same human being with the same physical body and human construct. But redemption brought him out of the darkness into the light. Redemption brought him out of this deception and passionate destruction of the church and his war against Christ, and brought him to become one of the great servants. So to me, that is a model even for multiples, that so many of them, and even handlers out there in Covenant. That's why we pray for all. We pray backwards into all of the highest ranks. I don't care if it's people still in government circles, wherever, in some of the deepest projects. I don't care where they're at. It doesn't make any difference. They can be insanely passionately committed to a Luciferian governmental agenda, and as we pray passionately for them, God's able to engage them. He could engage them the same way he did Saul of Tarsus. And we've heard episodes of that throughout history. God is not willing that anybody perish. And if you read first, if you read Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, you're going to know that this is good and pleases God our Savior. What does? That we pray for all people in authority and kings and so forth. For what? Their salvation. That God would engage them and God would grip them, that God would grab them. And so that's what we do. Yes, we pray for the perpetrators to be stopped, perpetrators to be, you know, whatever it takes for God to stop them from doing it to the next generation. But ultimately, we'd pray, I'd rather see thousands of them become the Saul of Tarsus, transformed by Christ to the Paul, the Apostle Paul of the rest of the New Testament. And see them live for God, live for Christ, realize the sinful, satanic, deception that they had once lived in. And I think that's a tremendous evidence of real salvation in a lot of multiples, too. The idea of Cornelius' household is another one. Cornelius' household was where, you know, the power of God fell on all the people there. Now, they were all gathered together. Yes, there was a predisposition in the sense that they had already heard some things about God. They were already God worshipers in a basic level. They had yielded to the Father's drawing in the Old Testament sense, that they had believed, that they have listened and learned from the Father, Romans or John chapter 5 and 6, that they had been guided and schoolmastered by the law, the Old Testament teaching, that they were prepared and yielded and became true God worshipers. Now, you'll notice what it says about how, you know, even what knowledge they did have about God, Cornelius, you know, obviously gripped a hold of, and God remembered him, and God literally sent, you know, did a tremendous work in sending Peter, you know, giving Peter a vision to get him, to get his theology corrected, that the gospel is for all of humanity and not just for the Jews. And that was the original and overall arching intent. Functionally for the Jew first. Functionally, yes. But no favoritism here. God, Jesus died on the cross for all humanity, period. And if it functionally began with the Jew, that's okay. That's the design. But there to flow to the rest of the world, which was not a secondary consideration, but was the consideration. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, 1 John chapter 2. Jesus is the halosmos, the atoning sacrifice. Not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So he died for all just the same. So in the application examples of Mark 5 or Saul to Paul or Cornelius, the Spirit of God and of power fell in the entire household. And we need to believe that God is able to fall on the inside of the household of multiples, of the family. Now, of course, where they've been split up and programmed and turned into every single direction, some personalities, they don't even know that others exist, etc., etc. But you know what? All I can say is this, that I believe that God has a way of falling in power, of revealing things, of breaking through, of doing an enormous work. I don't care what the work of the enemy is. God can blast apart its finality, its structure, its workings, and reveal and bring the application of redemption. Because salvation blasts apart the finality of transmutation and satanic work. Salvation is powerful, my friends. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. So come and bring Jesus and bring the power of God to people as you unleash the message of salvation and call every person to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. Now, let's take a look at point 3 on page 58, the will of God in the personality of the of man, or SRA MPD. Now, there's a special note of experimental application. I would even say experiential in this sense, what I've experienced with multiples over the years, because I know already some multiples won't like this. Some will have to think through this, and I'm very open into listening to all of them and to listening to you. But I want to share what we've seen experientially over the years. What's what I believe the Word of God objectively teaches, and what the Spirit of God is operative, is working towards. So, under A, the will of God. Now, it's the will of God. Listen, God wills that all men be saved. God is not willing that any perish. So the will of God is for the salvation of man, but that the salvation involves repentance and faith. And there will be those who will lose their soul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Now, I know it's going to be a tough thing, but you got to realize that there are going to be some multiples that it comes down to the core issues of their life. There are those that I have seen over 20 years that have chosen, at least to this point, they've chosen not to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've chosen other spiritual forms and alternative spirituality. They've chosen, and some of them have chosen, the dark side. Listen, there are those out there that have chosen. Just because you're multiple doesn't mean that you can't choose ultimately your destinies and who you want to be loyal to. And I have seen there have been some that have chosen the dark side. And they are passionately committed to that side. And that's why they're so dangerous. And they're willing and they want to be used. They want to be the sleeper. They want to be the troops. There's many that are like that. So I think it's important for us to understand, though, that the will of God for believer, any person who believes in Christ, but also this is applied to SRA and PD, the will of God for the demonic in the redeemed, the will of God is what? To get rid of that, to get rid of all the demonic. That is the will of God, period. God has no intent to let any individual or any multiple stay demonized in some way. He has no plan on allowing symbols and artifacts and rituals to have some of that. I've seen some multiples that wanted to keep some of their abilities to astral project and to do things and to be aware and read other people's minds. But if that's demon empowered, God says no. And so it's going to be the driving application of sanctification, the driving work of the Spirit of God, the driving work of the Lord Jesus to rid the person of all the demonic stuff, to lead them to renunciation, to be cleansed of everything demonic. B, the will of God for the new nature in the redeemed. Well, the new nature is for Christ to begin to flourish and the power of that new nature to be seen. So God's not just wanting to get a person, out of a coven and then that's it. God wants them out of the coven and into the promised land. It's like Egypt and the Israelites. God didn't want to get them out of the, because Pharaoh is really a type of Satan and the occultic system, the high-level occultic system of the Egyptian world at that time is really like the Luciferian kingdom in the highest of levels. And God wanted them out of there, not out in the desert. That wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't the desert. And see, if all you do is get out of a coven, get out of, get delivered from some demons, and then where are you going? If people just want out of the bad stuff, they're left in the desert. God wants to take them to the promised land. So the design from the beginning, it wasn't a secondary thought that God, well, I got them free, so now I got them out of the desert, so I guess I'll have to make up something for them. No, that's not true at all. God designed, he already had the promised land in mind when he first engaged Moses to be used of him to go to get the people, almost 2 million, to get them out of there and into the promised land and into the fulfillment of what Israel was designed for, to bear the fruit of the kingdom that God had. So you've got to understand that the will of God in the new nature for the redeemed is out of the sin and so forth, into Christ, growing up and flourishing in Christ, and being in his, quote, promised land, but then learning, too, what your job, life, and ministry is all about. So look at point C, the will of God for the subpersonalities. Let me ask you something. What is the will of God for subpersonalities? Was it the will of God that they ever were split like this? No. Was it the will of God that some girl get raped? No. But after the damage, what is the will of God? Well, saving, healing, loving, comforting, redeeming, restoring, bringing them out of that, not to lead them just to the desert, but to the promised land, and in that promised land to flourish and to receive and to be blessed and protected, and in that promised land to grow up in an identity that God would give, and to fulfill then the purpose of God. So I want to say that you and I need to, you know, grasp something here, because I want to tell you what I believe, and I'm open to your challenge. I believe it is the will of God for all of the personalities within to surrender to Christ and the Lordship of Christ, to be healed, whether you want to call that integration, healing, going with Jesus, to be completely and totally healed. We were not meant to be multiplistic in that sense. That was not the design of God, not in original creation, not in redemption. That was the design of the enemy, the fragmentation, the breaking, the splitting, and all the rest. So God comes to restore, and that restoration will eventually bring about if the application of redemption is going to be followed, if the work of the Spirit of God in sanctification is going to be followed, if the Word of God is going to be followed, then one by one or by groups, inner personalities will come to Jesus. They will be healed. They will come to Him. They will enfold. If you want to call it integration, whatever you want to call it, I just see many, you know, so many hundreds of times that personalities just simply, Jesus takes them. He picks up, especially the little ones, and goes off. Where does He go? Now, that's another issue. That's been asked me many times by other personalities. They've watched as other personalities have turned to Jesus, been healed, been redeemed, been cleansed, been given new clothing, been ministered to, and they just went off with Jesus. And some have said, inner personalities said, that they've seen them go right in a doorway with Jesus, and they were there and happy and so forth. Well, all I can tell you right now is that when God heals, the personalities are no longer there. So I'm talking about subpersonalities. Whatever structure is supposed to be there to strengthen the original person, God, I believe, brings that. It's the idea that you think in terms of the blind man being able to see. It's the same eyeballs, but God healed the eyeballs. Where did the blindness go? When the man had leprosy and Jesus healed, they are instantly come back to healthy flesh. Where did the leprous flesh go? When God is healing on the inside, where do the personalities who've been split, programmed, broken, demonized at one time, where do they go? So I still leave that up to the Lord Jesus, and we can ask Him, but I've seen again hundreds of times now that when Jesus simply takes them with Him on the inside. And I've had some say, well, I don't want other personalities to go. I've had younger multiples, 2 8-year-olds one time, when little personnel, Jesus came in to do the healing part and He took them, they were kind of bugged. They didn't want that to happen. And they lost their little friends. But the issue isn't, do you want to keep them there? The issue is, what does Jesus want? Does Jesus want to heal them? If they're left there, separated from the full personality, separated as a separate personality, they don't exist in the same sense that you or I do, body, soul, and spirit. They're existing in a subnormal level, and God wants to bring them to a full level. And whether that, some have suggested, well, when he literally heals them and takes them up out of that personality, they're in heaven, and someday they're going to get a new body. Someday in the glorification, they'll all have new bodies also. You know what? That's great. That's fine with me. I just don't. That's just, to me, that's speculation. That's nothing I can, other than me saying that any human personality that receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will one day be glorified, will one day have a immortal body, will one day be changed. I know one thing for sure in over 20 years. God never annihilates human personality. He never erases it. He doesn't depattern them. Whatever he does, total healing and the fullness of life. So if you say in terms of a personality, a subpersonality kind of merges back into the original personality, well, then that should be a permanent thing and a healing that occurs. So many times in a secular view I've heard where the subpersonality then is able to pull back out and be the same separate person they once were. Let's ask the question, what is the will of God? What does Jesus want? If Isaiah 48 verse 17 talks about the Lord being our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, who teaches us what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. I assume that verse for inside personalities. I assume that the Lord God, the Lord the Redeemer, in their meeting with personalities, I've even had multiples come back and said, after they've gone through that process a number of times, they've said, hey, so-and-so on the inside, they went ahead and called on Jesus and met with Jesus, and they went with him. They turned to him, and they went with him. And so, even without me being a facilitator, I believe the work of sanctification, the work of the Spirit of God, the application of redemption, continues to move forward to free subpersonalities, and to bring the healing, and to literally heal them by them going with him, whether that meshes them back into the whole of the personality, removes them permanently in the sense that the host, the person says, I no longer feel Johnny, I no longer feel Susie, Fred's no longer here. It's very obvious that the covens and even the military side can't trigger them. The triggers don't work any longer. They can't get to them. And that's what makes them mad. But let me just ask you to pray through this and to really seek the Lord on this tremendous miracle, this undoing what the devil has done, this application of redemption that God brings. Say you're the most broken person in the world, but you're a singleton. You have one personality. And you come to Christ. What's God's goal in that? Well, to heal you and to bring you joy and to bring you to fullness in life and to allow you to operate in the freedom of the Spirit of God. That's the goal that he has for every multiple also. But in that, there is also that sense of our cooperation with God. Our cooperation, which actually is the next session, the idea of responsibility and cooperation in the counselee and even in the multiple. What is the responsibility? Well, we're going to see that in the next session, in the next hour, but suffice it to say right now that Jesus comes to, and it's his will. He's Lord. We're not. We don't say, hey, you know what? We don't want to do it your way, Jesus. We want to do it our way. No, I don't want to do that. That's always an incomplete way and really is literally not yielding to the will of God. The will of God for my life as a believer is to be filled with the Spirit, to be obedient to the Word of God, to become a witness for Christ. That's the will of God, to live holy. That's the will of God for every multiple, for every personality on the inside. The will of God, come, be saved, healed, delivered, be transformed. But for the structure of the whole of the personality in the multiple, the will of Jesus is to bring them back to wholeness. There are some personalities that say, well, I don't want to go. Well, I tell you what, talk to Jesus. On the inside, in this miraculous engagement that they get to have with Jesus on the inside, just do what he wants you to do. Just do what he wants you to do because it's best. He teaches and lead what is best, and he leads you the way you should go. No personality on the inside will be annihilated. Programming, yes. thought patterns. Demons, yes, but personality is there to be redeemed. And what Jesus did on the cross, you think God wasn't aware that this was going to go on? You think that God didn't know? Did this slip by God's, did he all of a sudden look in his playbook and say, oops, I didn't see that. I didn't see Satan doing that. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, that death and the application of salvation, he knew every single one of the billions of people that would now be living in the world. And all the issues. There's not an issue that has surprised God. There's not an issue outside of the application of the blood of Jesus and redemption. So pray through this issue. And I want you to just really seek the Lord, because what I have found in all the cases, and just simply say, okay, let's just let the Lord decide. Let's let Jesus speak to the former priestess, or the former runner, or the former informant, or the former assassin. What does Jesus want you to do? You know how many times I've had them speak back to me and say, you know, Jesus wants me to go with him. Jesus healed me. Jesus did this. And all I know is I just want to go with Jesus. And they take Jesus' hand and they go off. And the person no longer feels, no, they're just simply not there. And for some that have been completely healed, they have no more personalities, sub-personalities. They have one, which if God has simply merged everything into one, that's one thing. But I just simply, again, surrender this to Jesus, surrender it to his authority, to his superior insight and knowledge of what needs to be done. And as you apply and just surrender to Jesus, as you bring people to the inner healing, just discern by the Spirit of Christ in you and what Jesus says to them, and let the Lord do what he wants to do. And this is what even interpersonalities need to know too. Well, listen, we're already about an hour in this session. We're going to get ready to go to session 24, which really is corresponding with this one too. So the Lord bless you, give you great wisdom. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all that you're doing. May he just bless you in helping others and minister to others. And I just encourage you to let Jesus be your all in all. God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar from Shatter the Darkness, shatterthedarkness.net on the web.